Joining us now from WGR 550 Sports Radio in Buffalo. Happy to have him back. Paul Hamilton joins us now on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you, Ben?
Things aren't bad. It's a bit of a death march here in Vancouver. We're waiting for the regular season to end. Although we look across at our expansion sad club brethren in Buffalo and we say, well, I guess it could be worse. This has got to be in what's been a bad stretch for this organization, Paul, and you've been there on the front lines covering it all. This situation with Jack Eichel, and in particular, that Zoom media conference that he had the other day, that's got to be some kind of low watermark for this organization, just in terms of another gut punch, but this one a real serious gut punch.
Yeah, but don't forget Danny Breer and Chris Drury left on the same day, July 1st.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was a bad one. That was
You know what? That's about when it started, if you want the honest truth. I mean, this whole downward swing of the Buffalo Sabres, you really trace it back to that day.
Yeah.
You know, once that day started, it has been bad news, and worse news for the Buffalo Sabres since. And they just have never recovered, and they've tried numerous different things, and here we are now. They thought, well, tanking would be a good idea.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just tanking in the McDavid-Eichel year. They had started tanking not for Sam Reinhart, but to get a high pick for that draft, which wound up being Sam Reinhart, which could have been Leon Draisaitl. But and Reinhart's been good. I mean, let's not say he hasn't. I mean, he's scored 20 goals 5 of the 6 years he's been in the National Hockey League, but they still could have had Draisaitl. And then Eichel the next year was either get McDavid or Eichel. They wind up with Eichel, but they haven't had a GM yet that has known how to fill around those players. And along the way, they wind up getting Darlene, the number one overall pick. I mean, they've been last place in the NHL 4 out of 8 years.
Yeah.
And that's part of all this is what we're talking about with Eichel. He's tired of it. Reinhart is tired of it. You know, Reinhart said in his end of the year thing that he's going on 26. He's not up for a rebuild.
Yeah.
That's not what he's looking for. And you know, I've heard that he wants to be traded to the West Coast. That's where he's from, as you well know. He's from Vancouver area. He'd like to go out there. But in Eichel's case, I mean, the Sabres were out of it 1 month into the season. They had signed Taylor Hall, and they thought they were going to challenge for a playoff spot. 1 month in, the Sabres are out of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's about the time Jack Eichel decided, you know what, because last year he said he was sick of losing.
Yep.
And he was okay last year. He didn't ask to be traded or anything like that. But he really came out on locker cleanout day and talked how much he hates losing. And, you know, he needs to start making the playoffs. And then he comes into this year and it's worse. I mean, the losing was worse than it was last year. And so, you know, I think once they were eliminated, he had pretty well decided, I can't do this anymore. And then the injuries start. And then, you know, you have this disc injury and Elliot Friedman saying, you know, it's a new procedure that he's looking to have done that a few athletes have had done. And there are short-term data on how it works and if it will work. Mm-hmm. But there's no long-term data. So if that's true, I kind of understand why the Sabres doctors might not want Eichel to do that.
Sure.
You know, and because when Eichel first spoke, we didn't know that. And you're thinking, what is the big deal? Why are you stopping Eichel from getting a surgery that he wants to get? And I think it's kind of crazy anyway that the Players Association agreed to this anyway. You and I can go to our doctors and we can make our decisions on our health.
Yeah.
But hockey players can't. They can go to doctors and give the information to the team, and then the team decides what you can and can't do. And I don't get that. I don't understand how the Players Association even agreed to that. But that's the way it is, and the Sabres are well in their rights to tell him he cannot have the surgery. And he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He knew he was going to be speaking on this day. He had plenty of time to plan for it. and he knew exactly what he was doing and what he's going to say. And it was basically, hey, Kevin, you want to play games with me? Fine. I just said what I want to. Enjoy your press conference on Wednesday, which is today at 11:30 Eastern time.
Well, that's what I was wondering when he brought that up, is because I understood that he was sick and tired of all the losing. I had also read enough reports that he was a big fan of Ralph Krueger's. Like, I mean, he spoke glowingly about him, and I doubt that he liked yet another coaching change with a guy that he held in such esteem. I felt like there was something definitely calculated about bringing the injury thing up, because it was just going to be, oh, another rift and another schism, but this time this is the one, the straw that breaks the camel's back. Like, it's finally where that's past the point of return, and they have to move on from him. You guys in the media in Buffalo, did you have any inkling that this was sort of like percolating under the surface, that there was this medical issue? Or was it a complete stunner the other day when Eichel came out and dropped this thing?
No, I've been reporting for over a month that this is a fight.
Okay.
I didn't know about the procedure that Elliot talked about. But, yeah, we've known all along that this is a fight, that he's wanted to get surgery and the Sabres wanted to go the rehab route. And the Sabres wanted to get him back on the ice. And he was like, no, that's not what he wanted. First of all, I don't think he wants to play for the Sabres again. And second of all, I don't think he wanted to come back. Well, the Sabres doctors are saying, well, with rehab and stuff, there's a possibility that maybe he could be back mm-hmm. this year. So I knew there was a fight right off the bat. I knew that he basically was telling people he's not going to be a Sabre anymore.
Right.
I heard all that stuff, and you know, it all fit. I mean, from what he said last year to what and the thing with Krueger is, yes, and he said in his press conference that he'll be friends forever with Ralph Krueger. But he's talking about losing. Well, under Ralph Krueger, the losing was horrendous.
Yeah.
And, you know, they went 18 games without a win. And I think Jack is smart enough to realize that it wasn't working. And he was saying nice things about Don Granato. He goes, well, quite honestly, I haven't played for him. He goes, I played for him for the U.S. national team. But he said, I hit him out with the Sabres. And he said, the guys are excited about it. He goes, you know, talking to the guys, you know, they're excited about what Don Granato has done and how the improvement they have and how some of the players have improved along the way. So he had some good things to say about Don Granato, but I don't think the improvement that the Sabres showed under Don Granato and the young players blossoming under him has changed his mind at all.
I always wonder, is it the players or is it the culture, or do bad players lead to a bad culture? Do better players lead to a good culture? If you had to pick one for the Sabres, like, which statement is more true? The Buffalo Sabres have been bad because they let their culture go, or the Buffalo Sabres have been bad because the players haven't been good enough?
Well, let's put it this way. They have gone through, since Lindy Ruff and Regeer were let go, they've gone through three GMs, mm-hmm. six coaches. They've redone the roster three times. They've drafted guys like Reinhart and Eichel and Dahlin, and had other, I mean, high draft picks. They've had the seventh or eighth overall pick, I think, four times in that time. And so they've done every single thing you can do, and they've done it multiple times, and nothing works. They continue to be the worst team in the National Hockey League, or close to it, every single season. So what's the thing that's been the steady thing the whole way? Terry Pegula, the owner.
Yeah.
Almost the whole way, Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, Jake McCabe, Zemgus Girgensons, and Kyle Okposo. And you can take that for however you want to do it, but they've been here for most of the ride. So that's the only constant from the time this started till now. So that's all I can tell you. Mm-hmm. Whether it's on any of those players or the owner, I think ownership has a lot to do with this. Yes, they have figured out the Buffalo Bills. They were lucky. They got Sean McDermott, the coach. They handed him the keys to the kingdom. He suggested Brandon Bean as the GM, and a team that had not made the playoffs in 17 years all of a sudden has made it 3 out of 4 and was almost in the Super Bowl last year. So now they're hoping beyond hope that they can that can happen, that they can get lucky and all of a sudden get the guys, the coach and the GM on the hockey side that can do it. Now they're hoping that it's Adams. Is Granato the coach? We don't know. You know, Adams is going to do a search. Who knows? Maybe today he would say he's the coach. I don't know what's going to be said today. But, you know, that's what they're hoping. And it's bad hire after bad hire mm-hmm. after bad hire.
Yeah.
And not just in hockey. It's through their whole organization, Pegula Enterprises. They listen to the wrong people. They hire the wrong people. And here we are.
Some of that sounds familiar. I can't quite put my finger on it, but some of it sounds familiar. Paul, Jack Eichel's personality, what is it like? Is it a good personality for a team I'm talking about, or is it a problematic personality?
Honestly, I don't think he's the greatest leader in the world. He wasn't ready to be captain when they made him captain, that's for sure. Mm. I think he has improved, but I still, if you're looking for a guy who's a great leader, I don't think Jack Eichel is. I think at times, you know, he's entitled, spoiled, you know, has always been that way. I was in the beginning, was not a good face of the franchise, and I think the franchise has worked with him to be better. He was very good and very cordial during his call, you know, his Zoom call the other day. But I think he wanted to get the media on his side.
Mm-hmm.
And he is better. I will say he has grown up as he's gotten older. I will say that. I mean, he wasn't real good at all. You know, he'd roll his eyes at questions he didn't like. And he didn't like most questions because he's Jack Eichel. And he knows better than anybody else what a good question is and that kind of thing. And, you know, a very entitled person and that type of thing. And, again, that's all improved. But it's still there. Sam Reinhardt is the same way. And, you know, so you've got guys who are just that way. How they are behind closed doors, you know, you'd have to ask them.
Yeah, who knows?
You know, do they treat their teammates that way? I don't know. I've seen them in public, and I've seen how they treat people in public, and I've seen how they treat media, and I've seen how they treat others. So, you know, how they're treating teammates behind closed doors, who knows? But, you know, that I think that can be a bit of a problem, too.
We're speaking to Paul Hamilton from WGR 550 Sports Radio in Buffalo on the current state of the Buffalo Sabres. And, Paul, I wanted to switch over to how the fans and the people of Buffalo are responding to this. Now, we're going to go out and assume that it's more than a probability that Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhardt could be traded without directly asking for it, just kind of inferring that they'd like to move on. Are fans in the camp of, yes, young men, go free, you know, go find success somewhere else like Taylor Hall has found in Boston and Ryan O'Reilly has found in St. Louis? Or is there a sense of resentment like there always is in any market when players don't necessarily ask in this case to go, but it's very clear that they would like to move on?
Here they blame the Pegulas. It's strange because they own both teams. Mm. So they love the Pegulas when we're talking about the Buffalo Bills. And they despise the Pegulas when we talk about the Buffalo Sabres. And I mean despise. I have never in my years in Buffalo covering both teams seen a team and a franchise hated as much as the Buffalo Sabres. The fans despise this team. They hate this team.
Yeah.
I mean, we were able to get fans into the building, which would have amounted to about 1,900 people. 300 showed up. That's all they got.
I also remember when Pegula bought the team, the optimism.
So
and the way he was willing to open the checkbook, I can't remember, he had a line, he said, look, I don't care about making money. If I want to make money, I'll just drill another, like he's in oil and gas,
right.
So he's like, he'll just drill another, you know. Mine is it? I don't even know. Well,
yeah,
oil well, right?
Well,
and people were like, this is amazing because, of course, this has been a team that was in bankruptcy or was teetering on bankruptcy and or worried about losing their team. For this to go that badly, it's been a remarkable story to watch here, even in Vancouver.
And look what he said to start, you know, when Botterill was fired, everything, they gutted the organization.
Yeah.
Now we got to save money. It's like, well, we've done it this way. Now we're going to go on the cheap. We're going to do video scouting. So all the scouts were fired except four. And the GM was fired. And the first thing they made Adams do is fire pretty much the whole hockey department. So it was, and then he hired the director of scouting. And he hired everybody that got a job had never done their job before. Adams had never been a hockey GM or a hockey executive on any level other than an assistant coach. The director of scouting had never been the director of scouting. Everybody hired had never done their job before. And they had four scouts and nobody to help Adams, no assistant GM. Good luck, boys. But we have to, now we have to save money. You're going to, now the, where they did, they were going to only have spend $71 million of the salary cap.
Right.
But when Taylor Hall became available, and then they gave a lot of power to Ralph Kruger, just like they did to McDermott with the Bills, thinking that's the way to go. Well, that was a huge mistake because, you know, he talked Taylor Hall into coming, but that turned into a debacle. So they did let that happen. So they, you know, the salary cap went up to the top like it normally does with them. But then they got guys like Cody Eakin, who was, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't played well in 3 years. All of a sudden, he's going to show up in Buffalo and turn into a great player again. And he's been worse than he was when he was in Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody Kruger wanted, Adams just went and got because Kruger basically was in charge. And it just blew up totally in their faces. So now you're not even halfway through the season yet. And Adams has a meeting with the Pegulas and tells them this is not working. You have to do this different. And now they're rebuilding the hockey department again. Now they're bringing in scouts. People that could have told them that Cody Eakin has not played well in 2 years.
Right.
But there was nobody there to tell them that because they all been fired. So, you know, but now they're rehiring scouts. Now there's an associate GM. Carmanos is here with Adams. Adams now is trying to rebuild a department that he had to gut because they made a snap decision that, well, we need to save money because all their entities are losing money except the Buffalo Bills. And then all of a sudden, they figure out, well, maybe we were a little hasty here. Now we have to rebuild. And Jack Eichel sees that.
Yeah.
And Sam Reinhart sees that. The players see that. And they're thinking, what are we doing here?
Paul, that was some really great stuff, insight into the Buffalo Sabres. People are texting into our Dunbar Lumber text line right now.
You made Canucks fans feel
better. Thanks for doing this today. We really appreciate it. Enjoy what promises to be yet another interesting offseason in Buffalo. And let's do this again.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.